Saints fans, followers, leaders, and true believers.
It's me, Josh O'Brien. This is Civilianization, and I would have put this out a little bit earlier, but lost a buddy of mine, Jonathan David, good guy, and I'm not trying to ask for sympathy or, oh, I'm so sad, you lost a friend. We all lose people. It's never too late to reach out to those that are still around. There's a lot of friends and family that you might you haven't talked to in a while. Now's probably the time to do it. It's the holidays, and that right there in itself is a good excuse just to send that Facebook message or send that call or whatever. You might have that estranged cousin, or it just might have been somebody you served with a long time ago, and it just feels good to hear from an old friend, you know. And it always sucks because there's so many friends that you see in tragedy you haven't seen in so long, you know. So this is actually the holidays. If you get it out of the way now, it might open up the door to bridging gaps and previous relationships that you've had. And one thing I totally love about veteran community, and you'll see it a lot while you're on active duty, but you see it a lot more after you put the uniform away. Because when you're on active duty, you see each other all the time. You pretty much live with each other. I mean, there are people you'll take a fucking bullet for, but you don't even want to be in the same room with. You know, and that's kind of a funny, hard truth. But, you know, there's so many people you'll deploy with, and it's just like, yeah, you're battle buddies, or you're in fighting positions, foxholes, whatever the fuck you want to call them. And it's just, you just can't tolerate this son of a bitch, but that's family. And the funny thing is, there's a lot of those people long after you put the uniform away that you'll look back and you'll be like, oh, son of a bitch. Might've been your arch rival, your nemesis, whatever, but they went through a lot of the same good or bad things. And I think honestly, the shittier the situation you're in, the bigger the bond it creates. You know, like, I know there's that old saying that says smooth seas do not create skilled sailors, or some variant of that, which, you know, I guess, but it's kind of true. But when you go through some really bullshit, even with the people that you hate the most, it's always good to look back and have somebody to laugh with. And then it's also like validates the story that you've been telling for fucking 1 to 20 years or whatever. So if you have that opportunity, reach out, contact somebody. It's the holiday season. My buddy passed away, and he was a comic. So it really made me think of another friend of mine, Sean Michael Malik, who was a veteran, stand-up comedian also, probably one of my, like, best friends. We had like an anti-click. I mean, people had clicked off, and that's kind of like the funny thing, I think, in any industry. I don't care where it is, construction site, comedy, fucking club, whatever. The people kind of click off and they find their group. And we're just kind of like the anti-click. It was just like, we don't really want to be a part of a group, you know, and it was somehow our group gets made by not wanting to be a part of a group. So there's that. And, you know, he had a lot of fucking demons, you know. PTSD really got to him, and he didn't open and talk about a lot of the things that he probably should have. And, you know, one thing leads to another. Next thing you know, fucking dude kills himself. And it's the holidays. So, hey, happy holidays. Suicide's a thing. There's always that one person like, well, the statistics, blah, blah, blah. Fuck you, and you're like, want to put logic on statistics. The thing is, I don't give a shit what statistics say. I just know what happens. You know what I mean? People are fucking, you know, killing themselves. It's the holidays. Some people are really a lot more depressed than others. And you know what? It doesn't fucking hurt just to message somebody like, hey, what's going on? Love you, buddy, or whatever. You know, and I've noticed a lot too is when you get out and you separate, people tend to not take good care of themselves. You know, when I was at the VA, I was seeing a lot of people missing limbs, and I was feeling like, wow, these motherfuckers like deserve more shit than me because they've seen it worse. And I find out that no, it's mostly because of diabetes, you know, and these people are just not taking care of themselves. So even if you're not taking care of yourself, you know, and I'm definitely not the poster child for health, but kind of like try to set yourself or try to hold yourself accountable, you know, because there are friends and family that would love to see you for a long time. And, You know, and the problem with like survivor's guilt and seasonal depression and a lot of that other shit is you don't realize how important you are. And I want you to know that you're fucking very important, you know, to somebody. To me, you are, because you did more than most people in this country. You're a fucking veteran. You went through basic training, boot camp, whatever, Marine Corps crucibles, bullshit, whatever, fucking Navy battle stations. There's these evolutions that you go through, and I'm not going to pretend to know what the fuck Air Force does. I think, like, I don't know, I think you have to, like, not get 8 hours of sleep. And then if you, like, and it's a hard day because you got 6 hours of sleep, and then that's that, you know, and they're like, ah, how do you manage on not 8 hours today? And then it's like, ah, congratulations, you graduated Air Force basic training. And I think that's how basic training works for the Air Force. I'm not exactly sure. I'm just totally kidding, fucking around. Shout out to Randy Jacobs, badass dude in the Air Force, like, and the Wings of Blue, those cats, man, I fucking love you guys. Those guys jump into like the Brickyard and like the Silver Dome. Kind of hard to jump into the Silver Dome. What do you do? Land on top of the fucking Silver Dome? Get a hacksaw, cut off the top of the roof? No, but these guys land into football stadiums and do that kind of cool stuff all the time. And Randy's gonna probably retire next year, I believe. And I really am proud to know these people. And yeah, we talk shit because we can, because we're family, because we're brothers and we're sisters. I say Army strong means retard strength. And I just say that as a joke because, you know, everybody that's a soldier and did their time in the Army is my fucking brother. And I'm proud of you guys, man. My little brother actually was in the Army, but a lot of people don't know that. The thing with veterans talking shit with each other, it just builds up the camaraderie, and we always have that head buttonness, like, my service is better than yours, you're blah blah blah, but don't be the fucking dick who like is a complete asshole to everybody. And especially if somebody's thanking you for your service, just be like, oh, you're welcome. You know, it's an awkward feeling. I've been separated 5 years after doing 20. So that's 25 years of my life of dealing with being a military. I mean, dealing with it. Like, it's like, I made it sound like it's syphilis. Just dealing with it, you know, but, no, 25 years of people saying thank you for your service. And I'll never feel comfortable with it, I don't think, you know, because there's always somebody that's further down range or doing more badass shit than you or deployed, you know, and even if they're doing less than anything you've ever done, they're deployed right now or they're currently serving. But the thing is, don't be a dick. Just, you know, because a lot of times they're not just thinking you, they're thinking everybody that's ever gone in and everybody that's ever served. So just tip your hat and be like, oh, you're welcome. I always like saying thanks for paying taxes. It's a funny joke to throw it back at them, like, haha, thanks for your service, thanks for paying taxes, blah blah blah, whatever, you know. But going back to the whole like being proud of what you did and being proud of you for doing what you did, it's weird because like I don't feel like I did anything. Like, I know I did some significant things, but it's been behind me, and it's in the past. And one of the things that really makes me feel fucking good, and it's crazy because a lot of times I'm acknowledging this, and I'm not asking for any sympathy or anything like that, but I'm saying, like, it's behind me, but and I don't really feel like I did anything sometimes because it's not in my face. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not buttoning up a uniform and trying to find blouser straps and, you know, trying to make sure my fucking bootlaces are done right. I haven't done that in a long time. Look, I'm a fat fuck now, and I wear t-shirts and hoodies and fucking blue jeans, you know, and sometimes the same pair of jeans for 6 days in a row. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah, I do that because I'm on the road. What? But it's so funny because it's not in my face anymore, you know? And you'll get those phone calls and those text messages, you know, saying thanks for helping people advance. Like, I'm so fucking proud, like, right now that so many of my my junior troops are made second and first class and stuff like that. And, you know, one of my dudes made senior chief, and it's just like, and I wrote, congrats. This is a little bit ago, Butters. I'll just say Butters. We're in 40 together. Who are F 40? That's Jeff Powell's favorite battalion. So, and he sent me a message. I was just like, oh, congrats. That's it, I think. Or maybe, fuck yeah, congrats. It's usually my go-to. And underneath it is like, hey, all your baby bees are growing up, Obi. And, you know, and it makes you feel really good. And then you're like, oh, shit, I did have an impact on people. You know? So when there's some shit, if you're thinking about a friend and you're thinking about, you're thinking about those deployments and those pasts and the people that influenced you or had an impact on you, reach out and, you know, just every once in a while, just say, hey, how you doing? And like, and let them know, you know? And if you have these stories that, you know, make sure you post them on Facebook, you know, and then tag them in them, unless it has to do anything with the banana show or something like that in Okinawa, which is funny because like, I did ask for topics, the other day about, well, hey, what do you guys want me to discuss? And, Whisper Alley and banana show and like a lot of these other things came up. And Habusaki. So it was like basically, I guess a lot of people that miss Japan or Okinawa, I should say, because it's more so Okinawa than mainland. Habu's a snake, you know, to cover that first. Habu's a snake. It's a pit viper, basically, that lives on the island. And what they do is they breed these fuckers and they make about 5,000 bottles a year. And what they'll do is they'll take them as a baby and they'll gut them. And then after that, they'll put it inside the bottle. They'll put it inside of a bottle of this sake, and the alcohol kills the venom. And also like they think that, you know, since this snake mates for up to 26 hours, that you're going to fuck like crazy if you drink this. And that's part of it. So, it's pretty fucking cool. If anybody's in Okinawa, I'd love you to send me a bottle, please. That'd be cool. But, cause you can get them and you can send them to the States. Don't buy them. If you're there, don't buy them on base in Kadena because they're like super fucking expensive, man. It's like three times the price of what you're going to pay outside out in town for the exact same bottle. There's like, it's, I think, the Nex itself, the Navy Exchange or any of those exchanges or the Air Force Exchange, actually, that's what's there. They're actually really good. The store themselves. But what happens is they rent out these spaces to like, I don't want to say subsidiary, but there's like, they rent out spaces to other little shops. And those ones are the ones that rip you off. And those guys will fuck you and not even give you a reach around. So like, don't buy them out in town, but Habusaki, it's fucking good, man. It's this, it's a Japanese, wine, sake, whatever. And it's fucking crazy. It'll fuck you up. There's a lot of alcohol related incidences that happen with that. I just think it's cool. You got a freaking bottle that has a snake in it. It's like, and it's pissed off. And that was another, what they used to do back in the day too, is, depending on the company, they would take the snake and they'd put it in the bottle alive and he would, and they would let it die. But now what they do is they take them and then they freeze them. Then they gut them. And while it's still asleep, and then they drain all the stuff out and then they put the snake inside back in the bottle. And so when it wakes up and it thaws out, it's pissed off and dies pretty much immediately. And it has a violent reaction. So, unless you're part of PETA, like PETA, I don't know anything about Habusaki and I'm totally, totally making all this up. If you're not PETA, please send me a fucking bottle. I think those are cool. Whisper Alley was another thing that came up. If you're unfamiliar about what Whisper Alley is, it's like where people go and they tell secrets. That's not true. That's where a lot of people keep secret in their life, though, because during World War II, the Japanese you know, well, the Japanese used to have comfort women. That was part of their thing. And a lot of times too, they would capture women in the Philippines and Korea, China. They would capture a lot of these women, sometimes their own, you know, country women. And they would be considered comfort women, which basically is they service the troops. It's like, you get, hey, what's happening? You're now our human traffic person. Now you got to go fuck the boys. What's happening? You got Charlie Company, girl. And it's pretty messed up. You know, and I'm not a fan. I don't think anybody should be a fan of human trafficking. And it's pretty fucked up. That's what they did. Japan also told, they also told their countrymen and women that Americans were horrible people and we rape and pillage villages and stuff like that. Some troops did. Some troops still do, unfortunately. You know, there's always going to be fucking bad apples, you know. Fucking army. Just kidding, man. It's not always the army. It's usually Marines. But there's always some crazy shit happening. Now, I remember right before I went in, right before I went in the Navy in 90s, it was like when I was in DEP. I DEPed in 95. So around that time frame, there was a couple Marines and a sailor, corpsman. They, corpsman's like the Navy doc, right? And then Marines don't have Navy doctors or Navy medical people, they don't have medical people at all. The Marine Corps does not. So the Marine Corps is a department of the Navy, and they take the Navy corpsmen, which is our docs, with them. And unfortunately, they rented a car, they picked up a girl, they raped her, and a general got on air and said, Marine Corps general was like, hey, why don't you guys just go down to Whisper Alley? For the amount of money it costs you to rent that car, you could have done that. And he got in a lot of trouble. They fucking relieved him of his command. I mean, but he wasn't wrong, you know, because back in, going back to the whole thing about how Whisper Alley started, was the Japanese government put women there. And that was actually the Japanese government set that up, and they got rid of prostitution in mainland, or they think they did, you know, but they had the comfort women were now basically prostitutes that worked. And I don't know. I've read conflicting things on if they're volunteer or voluntold women, but I know like around the 70s and 80s, it switched over to like, they were pretty much girls that were coming in from the Philippines and stuff like that. And this was their job. You know, this is what they wanted to do. Well, I mean, this is how they made money. It's, you don't really need a skill set to fuck. You know what I mean? Like, your fucking is your skill set. And I hate being brash or rude, but it's true. That's what it is. You know, I mean, like, you know, if you're DTF, you're DFT for cash, you're down to get paid, you know, and that's what it was. It was legal prostitution. There's also other places that I know of that a lot of my friends would visit or frequent. And then like in Puerto Rico, they had like Black Angus and Lucky Sevens and clubs like that. And the difference with Puerto Rico versus Okinawa, I don't know how regulated that was. But in Puerto Rico, they had to like get a monthly card from the health. And Tijuana is like that right now. Like if you wanted to go to Hong Kong Inn or something like that, you or whatever it's called, I don't know. It's like it's like the Hong Kong, or I don't know. I keep hearing stories about it, but there's places where like you could go. And then Mexico is like this now too. Is like it's not illegal per se. It's kind of frowned upon. It's kind of like how weed is in Ohio. It's like, yeah, it's frowned upon, but it's decriminalized. So you'd have to have health cards. You know, these are people that are actually working. For the most part, it's out of their own free will. There are shady places that are not, I don't know what you would call it, but regulated, I guess. They're not regulated by the Board of Health. But there's like clubs and places like that where you have to have a card, and 1 week or yeah, you have to get a card once a month. And then like every 2 weeks you get tested or something like that. I know that's what I've heard from some of the clubs. Cause I've been asking, I got a buddy of mine who will be on the show, and he was talking about going there and that kind of stuff. And I'm always like curious because like the human trafficking is a big fucking issue. And, you know, being and having a daughter, all fucking as nasty as shit as we talk and all that other stuff, you never wish this to happen on anybody. And when you find out that some of the bar tabs and stuff like that in the 70s, 60s, 80s, whatever, like when you're buying a bar tab, and a lot of times those girls, they're working there and that's their fucking job. But then you find out like in the like 70s and earlier than that, a lot of times Filipinos would raid villages of other Filipinos, and then they'd box these young ladies up and then send them out to the clubs, you know, to like maybe Angeles City, or, you know, might send them to fucking Okinawa, wherever it might be. And it's very unfortunate, but that's where these gals end up, and it's fucked, man, you know? So, but if it's legal in that state or that country or whatever, you know, because there are legal brothels in the United States, you know, and like I believe like outside Reno. But if it's legal and you're doing it and that's your fucking job, I don't see it being wrong. And this is why in my opinion, like if it's 100% consensual and you're doing it as a job and you're actually being like, what do you call it? You have guidelines and stuff like that, and you're with the health code and up to date, because we're watching porn. It's just people fucking anyway. And then not just that, it's like your troops aren't knocking somebody up that knows it's a free paycheck. And that's an unfortunate thing, but it's true. There are ladies, there are gentlemen, there are dudes that fucking trap women because they knock them up and like, yeah, she's gonna be my girl forever. What's the best thing to do to make sure a shitty relationship never ends? Oh, definitely knock them up. That definitely works. That's the best thing to do. Fucking idiots, man. You know, so you don't have guys impregnating women, or women getting pregnant on purpose, or if you ever watch F is for Family, you don't have some random dude poking holes in condoms. All right, so anyways, that's a stretch. F is for Family is funny as fuck. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. And if it's legal and it's consenting, then fucking by all means, I'm not doing it. But if you want to do it, that's total. I don't believe it's my business. I guess that's basically what I'm saying. How am I to say that that's something that this person could create and that's their own job? But whatever, that's totally on them. And then the other thing too, Whisper Alley, back to that. Okinawa's Whisper Alley, it's gone. It's no longer there. I'm sorry for those that are curious and vicariously living through me talking right now. It's gone. It used to be an alley right outside Gate 2 Cantina. It's an alley that paralleled it like a couple blocks up, I think one or two or something like that. And yeah, I don't know how many times like I would have to wait for my friends, and like I was either married or had a severe girlfriend or something like that, so I never really participated per se, but it was just, I did hang out waiting for fucking friends, and it was so annoying. You know what I mean? Like I'd either date a girl that was my mom, that was like stationed there, or I had a girlfriend going, you know, there. But that was one of the things I just heard something in my house. Weird. Oh, I was talking about my dead friends. It's probably a fucking ghost. Uh-oh. This is the ghost portion of the show. Nee, 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 nee. Okay, I'm making that up. Not the noise. I did hear a fucking noise. It kind of freaked me out a little bit. I'm alone. Back to the whole Whisper Alley thing. It's gone, man. Like, there's like a couple shacks, and it's funny because it looks like dilapidated barns in the back of a house in Ohio or fucking Iowa or something like that. That's like these little shacks, and then like but there's like apartment complexes there now, and in a lot of the other places, and that whole alleyway, and then leading up to the President's Club where they used to have the banana show, and all gone. Sorry. When they started it, when it started, I don't, like I said, I don't know how legal that was. I know after 1995, when that happened, they restricted a lot of the bases for a while. And I was reading a New York Post article where they interviewed one of the prostitutes, and she was saying that she was upset that, you know, they did that. They restricted a lot of people from coming there because, I mean, she would service like 30 people a fucking night and then went down to 6, you know? So, meh. Yeah, it's kind of crazy, kind of creepy, kind of like, wow, how many people been in that ghost town today? But it is what it is, you know? And then at the end of it was a place called the President's Club. Now, being Josh O'Brien from small town Ohio, and somebody, you know, in a town where we have farmers markets, when somebody says, hey, you want to go to the banana show, and you're like, sure, I could use some fruits and vegetables. And so I went, and I get there, and then just hanging out, drinking some, like, what is it, fucking, back then it was like $8 Budweiser's, way overpriced for shitty beer, you know what I mean? And it's not like regular Bud, it's like fucking shit Budweiser. It's got like formaldehyde in it, and it's fucking not good, you know? So you're just drinking your beer, and then next thing you know, some girl comes out, she starts dancing on the stage, and you're just sitting there just sipping your beer because they're expensive. And then some girl wants to, you know, some girl's on the stage, and then some other girl comes in and sits next to you, and she's like, buy me a drink. And she wants you to buy her a $10 thimble of water, basically. And the more they like you, the more, the slower they drink, the less they like you, the faster they drink, and they're going to fucking bleed you dry. And that's one thing that it did. That's another thing too. It's not really there like it was. Like, The buy me drinking bars is what we call them, is there used to be so many fucking places. You'd just be walking down the street, somebody grab you by the arm, like, come inside, you know, and they're begging you to fucking come inside to have a drink, and also to sit down and buy them a drink. They're like, just want to fucking take your money for your company. You're basically like a living 976 number, you know. They're not going to do anything. They're just going to take your money, maybe give you a fucking hand job or something while you're sitting there. But it's kind of sad, you know. And there's always one dude. There was always like one, at least minimum one dude that fell in love with the buy me drinking girls. And then next thing you know, they marry and they bring them back home to the United States. And there's a prostitution ring in the barracks, or you know, in housing or whatever. But going back to the President's Club, the girl would come out on stage, the banana show people, I'm like, oh my goodness, what the fuck is going on? I'm thinking that we're going here to drink before we go to like some banana like thing. And no. She's asking everybody to throw quarters on the stage. So if you throw quarters, she fucking takes them. She puts them on top of a beer bottle. She lowers herself on top of them. She has the quarters inside of her. And she's yelling at you to like ask her how much, and you're like, $1.50. And then she shoots 6 quarters out like a fucking change thing at Sonic or A&W Ripier stand. It's just like blah, 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 6 quarters. And like, what the fuck is going on? And then, you know, and it's basically like a living coin star. It just, you know, she'll fucking shoot them out. It's disturbing. And then a couple minutes later, you know, she does that, the coin thing, ha ha ha, and everybody's like, what the fuck, oh my god, but wait, there's more. I found out right away, as soon as she started peeling the banana, that there is no farmer's market that we're going to. This show is the show. This is the banana show. And she's pulling the banana, opening it and all that other stuff, and then she inserts it inside of herself. And then she proceeds to say, 1, 2, 3, and she'll chop it up in pieces inside of herself and shoot them at you. And there's your banana show. And that's gone too. I mean, sorry, I know people are really upset. Buddy of mine, Jimmy Redinger, he sent me a garden gnome. Like, they had like the Chiefs, the Navy Chiefs, sent this gnome everywhere. And then I, an Evermade chief made a lot of them but I never made it myself. But I'm still trusted, and the community treats me well. Like I said, I'm not part of that community, but they treat me good. God bless them, and I fucking love what they do. And they had a garden home, and that's one of the things I thought was funny is there was one of those little shacks that's left over at there's one of those shacks that's left over and for Whisper Alley. So I had a couple of my troops stand up in line with the gnome. So like, and it looked like the gnome was waiting for a hooker. And then I took the gnome over to the President's Club, and I put some bananas on him and stuff like that. Like he was waiting to go inside the club. And, that was another thing I thought was kind of funny, but so, yeah. There you go. The Banana Show, Whisper Alley, Habusaki, Suicide Prevention, and friends that are still with us. Happy holidays. There you go. That was my conclusion. Enabling objectives for today. Oh, fuck. Hey, man, I love you guys. I really hope you guys have a really good holiday. You know, keep your chin up, man. It's a fucked up time sometimes, especially right now. If you're having a good time, good. That's awesome. I'm really happy for you guys. If you're not, reach out, talk to your friends, you know. And also another thing, when somebody dies and you know about it, you're one of the first people to find out about it, please, please don't run instantly to social media and be like, hey, do you know fucking so-and-so is dead? Because a lot of the family members haven't found out yet. And it's a shitty fucking situation to find out that anybody that you're closely related to or that you're close to at all passed away on social media. That's like the worst, you know? So if you find out and you're one of the first people to know, just fucking let it go, man. You know what I mean? Like put your grieving out, wait at least 24, 48 hours before you start posting shit online. And also I'm bad at it. I'm not going to lie, man. Like I fucking lose friends, you lose friends, we all lose friends. It's not just me. I'm saying that when we lose friends, it's kind of hard not to be emotional and put it out there. But for the respect and the sake of friends and family of the individual, please hold off at least a little bit. It's like River City back in the day. You have River City, that means that all communication is shut down, and yeah, that's it. Kind of put yourself in River City on this fucking thing, you know? Without mentioning names, I do have a friend of mine. We'll just say Instagram, lowercase, ohio.george, that is making medicinal marijuana for the troops. Just kidding. Not for the troops. That was a joke. Please know that. If you get popped on a piss test, please don't say it's because you listen to this podcast. Because if anybody knows, that's one thing. I might smoke a little weed every once in a while. And I might do a shot of whiskey every once in a while, a hail and farewell or something like that. But I would never, ever, 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 ever tell anybody, especially active duty motherfuckers, to ever dabble in this shit. And there's my disclaimer, but Ohio.George, he's actually in some competitions right now. He's figuring out how to make legal strains of marijuana. And, you know, so kind of cool. Like where I live in Los Angeles, and it's a little bit different here than anywhere else in the United States. Like I can walk. It's actually easier for me to get legal marijuana than it is to get beer or anything, because I live closer to a dispensary and their hours, they don't stop like they do with beer and stuff like that. And to be honest with you, once again, disclaimer, don't smoke the shit. If you're on active duty, don't do anything that will put that career in jeopardy. If I ever have a guest that's on active duty, I always tell them that this show is strictly respecting OPSEC, number one, and their career, number two, or vice versa. It doesn't matter. Their career, number one, OPSEC, number two. You violate one, you're violating the other. Fuck it. You know what I'm saying? So, and that's the last thing I'd ever want to do is put anybody in that situation. But on the other side of the coin, when you're a civilian, I have found that for me personally, this marijuana is a lot better than alcohol and being drunk. You know, smoking a bowl and then that's it. Not even that. Just a little bit, just relaxes you. And I barely ever fucking do any of that stuff. But ohio.george is definitely something to check out on Instagram. And you guys, I really hope you have a kick-ass fucking holiday season. All that other shit, whether it's Christmas, Hanukkah, Pastafarians believe in. Like, I really hope you have an awesome spaghetti dinner, I guess. I don't know. Fuck it. Either way, hey, keep your chin up. Never let the bastards get you down. Fuck the bozos. Never forget, Obi loves you. And for all those I followed, thanks for making me a better leader. For all those I've led, thanks for making me a better person. And don't forget to leave a fucking impact on other people like they've left on you, okay? All right, I fucking love you guys. I really do. And thanks for the shout-outs. Please tell your buddies and homies and pals, if you're listening to this and you like this shit, I hate fucking saying this stuff, but I really need to. I need people to subscribe and listen to this stuff, you know, because fuck it. I got to pay the bill for it, so I want other people to dig it too. All right, love y'all. Bye. I'm out.